against Corey Enterprises.
It's so lovely of you to wait. So often, that doesn't happen.
Thanks. Mr. Starkey.
Yes, thank you. May it please the court, my name is Christopher K. Starkey. I represent the plaintiff appellant, Joshua Bunn, and once again, I am in this court asking it to reverse an entry of summary judgment in an employment case where I represented the former employee. Your Honors, I firmly believe there are fact disputes that must be resolved on trial regarding the conversations between Joshua Bunn and the general manager, Johnson, as to what attempts were made at accommodating my client.
But you do not dispute, or do you, that there was some type of accommodation given here in the sense that he was allowed to work in one position rather than all positions?
Your Honor, Mr. Bunn's position is that yes, they allowed him to work in the one place, but limiting him to the one place did not put him in a position where he'd get enough hours to work and to survive, frankly. And if they made simple accommodations in two other departments or simply allowed him to work in the cashier, I call it the cashier department, they call it the frontline department. It's their business, I suppose they should call it the frontline department.
What is the evidence that he got fewer hours than other workers because he only worked in one position?
I suppose his own, just his testimony, his affidavit.
Mm-hmm.
That would be it, Your Honor. It had multiple conversations with Mr. Johnson. I will put you where I want to put you. I'm going to do. I'll schedule you when I want to schedule you. And at that point, Mr. Bunn reasonably thought there's no point in discussing this further. He didn't get scheduled enough, and therefore he had to leave. And a jury,
he did take a number of vacation days, didn't he?
He took some vacation days. He let them know in advance, I'm going to be gone then, please don't schedule me, and they didn't. And again, our position is, yes, they did not engage in the interactive process. In this circuit, that is not enough. Again, if they had, he could have been accommodated in four departments, and he could have done the work then, and then he could have gotten a reasonable number of hours where he could have kept.
You say
his job.
He could have worked in all four departments?
Correct. Yes, Your Honor. If he had labeled some things differently, put some bigger print on the labels and lowered some monitors, he could have worked in the chill or the grill departments. And again, our position is that Cowrie Enterprises did not adequately accommodate him by only allowing him to work in the expo department. Again, it just would not allow him to get enough hours. I also believe Johnson's statement in his affidavit, I schedule key employees over the winter. To me, that's kind of code for I schedule non-disabled employees. I mean, a jury could read that line and say it as code for I schedule non-disabled employees in the winter. My client's always wanted to work. He's always needed accommodations. He can't work without accommodations. He simply can't. His eyesight, he's blind in one eye, minimal vision in the other. And respectfully request that court reverse this. Oh, I haven't talked about the late schedule affidavit, also, which I put to the end because I don't think it matters, because I think on the evidence there, this case should be reversed. I did not get an opportunity adequately to respond to the affidavit that was filed late. I filed in the Southern District of Indiana. We're not supposed to file collateral motions. So I simply pointed out in my brief March 20th, and then the time for the reply came, not filed. Again, the moving party in December didn't know that to file a reply brief, but until April 30th, when the court pointed out you need to file this affidavit, that's when, and gave them a deadline, and then they filed it at the end of the deadline. May 6th is when I first saw the affidavit. I know it's not in the record, but I left on vacation like about 24 hours later. So I essentially had, and the court ruled while I was gone. And so I essentially had 24 hours to respond. And again, for those, again, it doesn't matter if you find that based on the available evidence. But again, I would like the opportunity. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Starkey. Mr. Dalrymple.
Good morning, Your Honors, and may it please the Court. I am representing the appellee today, Corey Enterprises, which does business as Dairy Queen Grill and Chill.
How many stores Corey Enterprises has?
Just one in Carmel, Indiana.
Could you tell us what the record tells us about Mr. Bunn's hours vis-a-vis the hours that the other employees were working?
Sure. There were two factors that led to the reduction in hours by the appellant in this case. The first, I will discuss the hours kept by the Dairy Queen. It stands to reason that Dairy Queens are busier during August than they are during January. Because of that, the hours logged overall of all employees are about between 50 and 57% during the winter. So when the water falls, the ship follows. All employees have a reduction of hours to some extent. The key employees that council mentioned in his presentation are supervisors. There are a few supervisory employees who are really required to be there no matter whether the store is busy or not. The appellant's hours were not the lowest during the months of November, December, and January. However, they were very low and of the lowest. The primary reason for that was not the fact that the overall hours were lower. In November, he was suspended for 10 days for conduct. He threatened a supervisor. The following month, he requested off 3 days. The following month, he requested off 2 days. He was off from December 27th through January 7th for vacation. And once he...
These are off given that even... Were the hours shortened or the days shortened? How did they accommodate? Were they open their normal hours with just a reduced staff? What was...
Generally, they are reduced staff, so they simply do not need as much staff during these times. During the particular December, as with every December, they are closed for holidays, Christmas, and so forth. There was also some inclement weather during that particular December that required them to be closed, I believe, 2 days. But generally, Your Honor, it is a seasonal matter.
But he was asking for vacation time.
Yes, during that time.
Even in a reduced period where there was reduced hours.
That is correct.
Reduced staff.
That is correct. And then finally, he requested off additional time after he had submitted his resignation. There are a number of facts that the appellant either suggests that are in dispute or that are material. And I would argue, and I do argue today, that there are a few facts that he would suggest are in dispute when are not. He mentions an incident concerning his cell phone. And, in fact, he was disciplined for sending text messages during work, and that's something we do not allow all employees to do.
Of course, he maintains he was only looking at the phone to check the time.
That is correct. And it would stand to reason that is a perfectly acceptable use or accommodation for his phone. The primary issue here, though, is that that's not why he was disciplined. He was disciplined for sending text messages. And that was a part of the 10-day written suspension. The other example that I would use is that several quotations were attributed to Larry Johnson, who is our store manager. And while Mr. Johnson and certainly disputes those, if we assume for these purposes, as we must, that Mr. Johnson is the Scrooge that appellant makes him out to be, even the quotations attributed to him would not rise to the level.
You do remember the story. Being a Scrooge is good.
In the end, Your Honor.
He's a hero in the end.
In Your Honor, and in fact, as my clients, I would agree with that analysis. but again, the quotations that are attributed to Mr. Johnson simply do not qualify, raised to the level of material. You can, in the most extreme circumstance, if a supervisor or a manager tells me that, Mr. Dalrymple, I will not accommodate your disability, and turns around and accommodates me, I would suggest that the letter of the law really has not been violated in those situations. Now, I don't suggest that that's what happened here, but again, taking the quotations as argued, I argue that they are not material, and therefore certainly would not rise to the level that would require this court to reverse the summary judgment. One final point that I would make is the issue of an adverse employment, which is required, adverse employment action, which would be required for us.
Well, your white light is now.
Thank you.
I'll just keep you posted.
In short, Your Honor, I would request this court to affirm the summary judgment.
The red light is on. You can still keep talking.
Okay.
Well,
thank you. The adverse employment issue would...
You don't have to keep talking. There's no legal requirement.
I'm happy to. Would require some showing that he suffered an adverse employment, and we simply do not believe that was the case here. His wages were less in December than they were, but that was due to the reasons discussed earlier, certainly not to any discriminatory intent, and the plaintiff, now appellant, did not offer any evidence that, in fact, that was discriminatory. If there are no additional questions, I will again ask this court.
Doesn't look like it. Thank you very much, Mr. Dalrymple. Anything further, Mr. Starkey?
Again, his hours were reduced, and I understand that they have less hours in the summer. It's a Dairy Queen, for goodness sake. But if you look at SA 13, you'll see he has the least number of hours of all the people on there, way less than anybody else. The November incident, which is on the supplemental exhibit, page 13, the supplemental appendix filed, again, he disagrees with that. Mark disagreed on there. And I was also hindered by not having the affidavit in responding to that because there was a lot of details contained in there that I didn't have. The cell phone, again, it's disputed. He only used it to check the time, and it is firmly our position that he was not accommodated adequately. And the final point that Mr. Dalrymple raised was, again, adverse decision required. Well, it's not raising the brief. I mean, just stopping scheduling people is how you get rid of fast food workers, basically. And you don't have to fire them. You just don't put them on the schedule anymore. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Thank you very much. The case is taken under advisement.